Welcome to the second episode of the Artist to Artist podcast. On last week's episode, I shared my story with you. So if this is the first time you're hearing this, you may want to check out the very first episode so you can learn more about me, who I am, my perspective on the industry, and a little bit more about the type of work I do. My name is Angie, and I am your host for this podcast. I'm a full-time freelance makeup artist, and on this episode, I'm going to focus on talking about what you can expect in your first 5 years of working as a makeup artist. I chose 5 years because I feel like this is the time frame that can be the most challenging. It's also the most exciting, but you can make a lot of things happen in your career in the first 5 years. Some people may accelerate a little faster or slower depending on their circumstances, so I felt like 5 years is a good average. In this episode, I'm also going to talk to you about the pillars of success in makeup artistry. So these are the areas of your business that you have to work on continuously to be successful. I'm also going to give you 10 things to focus on if you're in the early stages of your journey. So you'll have some specific items that you can work through that will hopefully improve or make these first few years of your career a little bit easier. Before we get into all that, you've probably already figured out everybody's journey in this industry is different. And I think that's one of the hardest things about this. There are so many different ways to have a career as an MUA, and your career can be built over different periods of time. You may know somebody that's been in the business for less time than you, but maybe you feel like they're further ahead. You may also know artists, or you may be an artist that's listening that maybe feels like things are taking forever, but this is all normal stuff. It's to be expected. The one thing that is universal about this career path is that it takes time, and there's things you can do to speed up the process a little bit if you focus your energy on the right things. But generally, there's no quick way to build a career as a makeup artist. There's so much of this that is really out of your control. So please remember that and consider that if you're having a tough time right now, or if you feel like things are really difficult, it's because they probably are. I also want to make sure it's clear that when I say the first 5 years, the starting point to this 5 year period, year one, is not when you decide you want to be a makeup artist. It's after you've completed some preliminary training, whether that's one-on-one education, maybe you've gone to school, either full-time or part-time. You've already built a kit that's workable. It's not going to be perfect, and that's fine. And I think that perfect kit, I don't know if it's anything we ever really achieve, but it's a kit that you can work out of comfortably. You're already in a rhythm of applying makeup. You have a few clients, you're charging for makeup applications. You're just starting to get into the swing of things. This is when your first year starts. Once you have all of what I just mentioned in place and you're ready to make a solid commitment and investment in your career as an MUA, and this can be part-time, it can be full-time, that's when your first year really begins, because everything I'm going to talk to you about in this episode, you kind of have to have all of that preliminary work done to work on the things that I'm going to share with you. There are 4 areas of your business that you need to work on continuously and consistently in order to build a successful career as an MUA. And these are really what I call the pillars of success in makeup artistry. They're things you're going to have to work on throughout your entire career, but in those first few years, they are extra important. And these areas are technique, service, network, and brand. And I'll just give you a quick summary of what that means. Technique is obviously how well you actually do makeup, and this is at the very heart of everything. And I will tell you, it takes a long time and a lot of repetitions and practice to get good at doing makeup. And we are talking years to get to the point where you really know what you're doing, you can confidently work on every skin tone, you can pretty much handle anything, nothing surprises you, you know how things are going to show up on camera, you know how to troubleshoot, all of that. And when I say years, I really want to make that specific point because I feel like some of you are really going to feel this. I myself have been very humbled by certain experiences and by being around other artists at many points in my career when I thought I was really experienced. No one can tell me anything. 5 years as a makeup artist, I know this is about the first 5 years. This is really not a lot of time in the grand scheme of things. To give you an example, I mentioned in the first podcast episode that I've been doing makeup since I was 16. I worked as a makeup artist part-time in retail, and I freelanced part-time up until almost 30, and then around 30, I quit my full-time job to be a makeup artist, and I've been full-time freelance for, let's say, 12 or 13 years. I hustled, I worked my ass off, I've done a lot of makeup applications, and I would say it took me a good 7 or 8 years of working full-time as a freelancer to really feel like I had developed my style as an artist, to figure out where my strengths were, to feel fully confident in my application abilities. And even now, I still have things that I need to work on and improve on. And I know this is a bit of a tangent here, but I really want to drive home how important it is to practice and approach this industry with a willingness to learn, a humbleness, and just an acceptance that there is always going to be room to improve. If you can bring these intentions to this job, you'll be so much better off. Okay, back to the four pillars. So we have technique that we just talked about. Service refers to the experience people have when they work with you, whether that's a talent sitting in your chair, a bridal client, a photographer, a producer, a hairstylist. How you serve and show up for your clients is important because we work in customer service. This is definitely a customer service job at the end of the day. Network is about who you know, and this is very important as well. Brand is about how you present yourself. This includes your social media, how you present on set, what you look like, what your kit looks like. So in order to be successful, you have to be consistently putting in work in each of these areas. So if right now you feel stuck, you feel like maybe there's a roadblock you need to get around, or you feel like something is off, it's likely because you're falling short in one or more of these four areas of your business. And I know that not all of this is exciting stuff, and not all of us are going to be amazing in each area. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, but it's that consistent effort and work in each of these areas of your business that is going to help you build your career and also make those first years of your career quite a bit easier. Let's talk about what you can expect in these early years. The first thing you can expect is that you're likely going to be really bad at makeup for a very long time. I was terrible. I did some horrible applications that I charged money for, and really the only way to improve is to practice. You can watch all the tutorials you want, but unless you're actually physically practicing on other human beings, doesn't matter who it is, your makeup is not going to improve at the pace that you need it to. You can also expect that you are not going to make a ton of money. If you're leaving a full-time job, it's likely going to take you a few years to earn the same income that you're walking away from. This is why being financially literate is so important before you embark on a career as an MUA. Whether it's part-time or full-time, your finances have to be in order. You have to understand how to manage your money because it's going to take a while to get regular clients, and you'll have to do a really good job of managing your money in the meantime so you don't go bankrupt. This is a really important one. It's okay, and it's probably going to be necessary to have a part-time job, maybe even a full-time job, to support yourself during the first little while, because the last thing you want to do is put yourself in a bad position financially. You need to give yourself time to improve your skills and work on the important areas of your business. And where does time come from? It comes from money. You should know the saying, time is money. This is a saying that you should be living and dying by if you're going to have a career in this industry. If you're good with your money, that buys you time to work out all the kinks, make those initial mistakes, get your feet wet in the industry. It gives you the time that you need to build those relationships. If you're really strapped for cash and you need money fast, you are definitely going to be screwed. Another thing you're going to hear me say often, and I feel like this is something that is not talked about enough in this industry, is that you need money to make money as a makeup artist. We are just like every other startup or new business. You need an initial investment because early on in your career, you won't have developed the specific set of skills and experience required to make a lot of money fast. Please do not fall for anything online or on social media that is guaranteeing you six figures in your first year of working as a makeup artist. Anything that's worded that way, please believe me when I tell you this is a dishonest way of marketing. If you are committing to this industry, you're committing to be in this for the long haul, and you really have to play the long game. You can expect your first few years to truly feel like the first day of school all the time, but this is like a new school you've never been to. You don't don't know a single person and you have no one to sit with in the cafeteria. Everyone seems to be cooler than you and you can't seem to make friends with the cool kids. This industry can feel a lot like that. And even now I have jobs where I feel like I always say it's the first day of school every time we work. This feeling of being an outsider, it does let up after a while, but in the beginning, it can be very intimidating. You can feel very hopeless. You can feel like you're never going to be with the cool kids. You can feel like sometimes it might seem almost impossible to get where other people are, but this is normal. It's just that feeling when you're new at something, things do get better, that feeling subsides, and new things in your career will eventually become exciting and not so scary and intimidating, but that will take some work to get to that point. In your first few years, you can expect to make a lot of mistakes. You're probably gonna embarrass yourself more than once. You're gonna screw up. You will feel like you will never work again. But all of this is part of the process. And unfortunately, the only way out of this phase is through. So just keep going if you feel like this is where you're at right now. You can expect periods of being super busy and then days, if not weeks, of absolutely nothing. This is something that kind of never goes away and you just adjust to the unpredictability of things. It can be very scary at first, and not knowing where your next job is coming from is definitely a feeling that keeps you on your toes, but you do get used to this as well. You will figure out the flow of work. It will just take some time to adjust to everything. And this is probably a great point in this episode to move on to some of the things you can do right now if you're in the early stages of your career, or if you've maybe just hit a roadblock, so that you can invest the right kind of time and energy into your business. And this will help you have an easier passage, I guess, through those more challenging times. These are all things I would do myself if I could start over and do it all again. And I really want you to think about all the stuff I'm going to leave you with today, and think about all the things that you're going to do early on in your career as an investment that you're making in your future self. If you make the right investments now, later on, you're going to be able to cash out. I've put together a list of 10 things that you can work on in your business right now to make good use of your time and build your career. Now, you may not have to work on all 10 of these items. It's just a list of things I put together that I thought would be the most useful. You don't have to do all of them in any specific order. Just think about them, reflect on where you're at, and kind of take what you need from this list. Starting with number one, in your first few years, it's going to be very important on the technique side to make sure you have all your fundamentals down. And color theory, this is going to be the most important. When I was stuck in my career and I left my full-time job, the minute I started working full-time as a makeup artist, I could see that my work was just not at the level of other artists in my market. And I had to go back to basics and relearn all the fundamentals because I never really learned them correctly in the first place. And I had to learn how to use color theory in all elements of my makeup application, not just to correct my mistakes. And with learning more about color theory, this is really a situation where you learn the rules so that you can break them eventually, if that makes sense. I do have to mention hygiene here. It's important that you learn how to work hygienically. I am also aware that education on hygiene for makeup artists, it's not the greatest. Our clients are really at our mercy and we have the potential to make a lot of people sick. So take the time to figure all of this out. Being a dirty makeup artist can be terrible for your brand. It's bad for your reputation. So you want to make sure you're starting off on the right foot in those early years. And you do want to be very aware of your reputation as an artist because our jobs are based on referrals. So with everything that you're putting out there, whether it's through networking, whether it's through how you present yourself, remember that each time you show up to a job, to a TFP, to see a client, you're building your reputation piece by piece and you don't want a bad reputation, especially as it relates to hygiene. You also don't want to have that kind of effect on your client's life after they leave your chair. You want to have a lasting impression that is positive. You don't want to make them sick. You don't want to give a model a cold sore that this is something that's going to affect them for the rest of their life. So please think about that in terms of the beginning stages of your career and your education and training. Item number two, this relates to understanding color theory. So kind of relates to number one, get familiar with every single product in your kit. Learn how it works, how it applies, the ins and outs, the undertones. I talked about financial responsibility a little earlier on. A lot of us spend money on product to make up for the fact that we aren't confident in our abilities and we're inexperienced. And this never ends ends up working. So the kit that you now have, take care of that thing like it's worth $1 million. Use up everything. Don't spend on things you don't need and only replenish items that you have fully used up. I know it's easier said than done, but you need to learn your products and you need to control your spending. When you have a good, solid understanding of color theory, that means you need to use less products, you need to buy less. The confidence you get from understanding color theory, knowing that you can work on anybody that sits in your chair, you will know how to troubleshoot. It replaces that need to buy things to make up for whatever it is that you're insecure about when it comes to your technique. So dig into color theory and make sure you really use up the products in your kit. Number three is a pretty obvious one, but I have to mention it. You have to practice as much as possible, and you have to really get after the things that intimidate you the most. So liquid liner, red lips, false lashes, anyone that will sit in front of you, practice on them. Put a lash on them. Do something on them that is challenging for you. If you're intimidated by working on deeper skin tones, seek out people with deeper skin tones and practice as much as possible. And you can take anyone, just as long as there is a human being sitting in that chair giving you the opportunity to practice something that you're terrible at. This is the only way that you're going to get better. This is the only way to improve your confidence. And really, it's the only way that you're going to overcome some of those things that are holding you up. Number four, please remember to do this. Take photos and videos of every single makeup application that you do so that you can use these for reference. Review them. Be critical of your work. It's not perfection that we're aiming for. It's just about making small improvements over time. If you know you messed up an eyeliner, no problem. Make a note of that so that the next time you can improve. The photos and video should also be good enough to post on social, which you should be doing regularly, but they will also act as a great way to measure how much you've improved. Number five, get around people who are better than you. Assist, do one-to-one trainings. It's important that you learn from more senior artists. I was so intimidated by these people when I was first getting started, and that was really just my ego getting in the way. But the fastest way to improve your work is to learn from someone else's experience. This can save you so much time during the learning process. This type of education is basically priceless, and it's one of the things that I think you will find improves your knowledge about the industry, how you work, your application style. Being around a more senior artist will improve these things the most. Number six, and I know this is a hard one for a lot of people, you have to meet as many different people from the industry as possible and direct your networking efforts to other people in the industry who have about the same amount of experience as you do. This is hands down the smartest way to use your time to practice your networking and to meet people in the industry that you can grow with. If you approach a very experienced photographer to do a TFP, they're likely not going to want to work with someone who's inexperienced. They're also probably going to have a team that they get along with, that they've been working with for a while, with other experienced artists. So there's no need for them to take a risk on you. That just doesn't make sense. And if the roles were reversed, you would not do that yourself. So you can't expect others to do that for you. You want to get creative with where you're finding new photographers to work with. If you're new to the industry, look at photographers from other schools. Do your own research online. Do some detective work and put yourself out there as often as you can. Yes, you're gonna get ghosted by people. Yes, you're gonna have people tell you no, but all it takes is one person to say yes, and you are gonna have a lot more yeses if you try to connect with people at your level. Number seven, it's gonna be so important for you to do as many creative or TFP shoots. Yes, this means you're working for free, but it's not actually working for free. This is a great way to build relationships with people. It will teach you how to get comfortable on set, how to work with teams, but more importantly, it will give you the opportunity to see how your work translates to camera, which is a big skill to learn. And this is one of those things you're only going to be able to learn by doing. So when you talk about creatives and TFPs, and I see a lot of this type of conversation online, on social, people are talking about how they don't work for free. We all work for free. We do these TFPs, we do these creatives, which leads me to number eight. Only agree to free work or TFPs when there is a fully formed concept that's going to result in an end product that is beneficial for every member of the team. One of the reasons we take part in these unpaid shoots is to get photos and video that will eventually get us booked. So for example, if you work in a commercial market, the photos that you produce with your team on that creative have to have a commercial feel so that can help with building your portfolio. It's important to do things that are fun and think out of the box and you want to be creative, but if you want to use your time wisely in the beginning, make sure the creative and TFPs that you're a part of are actually going to help attract the type of work you want to do as an artist. You can always come back and do the fun and crazy stuff when you have regular paying clients coming in and things are not as difficult. But in the beginning, it's going to be important for you to use those opportunities on shoots to get work that's going to help you build a roster of paying clients. So be smart with your time. And this is a great example of how to make good investments with your time in your career early on. Number 9, and this definitely relates to number 7 and 8, make mood boards for everything. For every creative shoot, the direction that you want to go in as an artist, the shoots you want to be doing, for your bridal clients, whatever you're going to be doing, having mood boards helps keep you focused. There's a lot of feelings involved in this job, especially when you get to set. And depending on your state of mind, you might be feeling anxious. You might not be feeling confident. You may be feeling overwhelmed, but you always want to make sure that you can stay on track with what you want to accomplish on any given opportunity for work. The mood board really helps with that. Even when I get direction from my clients, I will make a mood board of my own with some other options that are aligned with what my client presented me in their mood board, but it's just in case it doesn't work out, doesn't look good on the model that I'm working on. I always have mood boards with me. It just takes a lot of the thinking and guesswork out of what we're doing. And I know for me, if I'm nervous or anxious, sometimes I just can't think through things clearly, and I want to be able to make the most out of each opportunity that I'm given, and the mood boards help with that. And the last thing that you can work on, number 10, is all about your time. Schedule the things you need to do for your business each week or each day so you actually do them. In the beginning for me, I never really took all of the things I had to do to grow my business seriously. And part of committing to doing this job well is to make the best use of your time. And the easiest way to do that is to make sure you're scheduling the things that you need to do for your business each week. Like, I mean, actually putting it in the calendar, sitting down and making a focused effort on you and your business. I did not do this for so many years in my career, and as a result, just wasted a lot of time. I wasn't making the best use of my time. I never really planned out my weeks. I never really planned out my downtime. I never really made a list of specific goals I wanted to accomplish or a to-do list. And I think you can just get caught up in this industry so easily because of the emotional ups and downs and highs and lows. They're really extreme, but you have to kind of keep the wheels turning, keep that momentum going, and you can do that by actually planning out your time and making sure each week you're doing everything you need to do to build your business. As we wrap up this episode, I hope those 10 items are going to be helpful for you. Just touching back on scheduling your time each week, you should be spending time each week working on each of the 4 pillars. So remember, they are technique, service, network, and brand. I'll list them out in the show notes for you. And I'll give you just a few examples to get you kind of started. Technique, of course, this means practice as much as possible, schedule those creative shoots, take pictures of your work, see how things are really working on camera. And remember, we're not aiming for perfection. We just want to make small improvements each time we work. When it comes to service, think about what you can do to improve your client's experience with you. Is there something you can add to your kit? Is it how they book your services? Think about things like that. As far as networking each week, did you reach out to anyone this week? Did you engage with people that you've worked with on social media? Have you checked in with anybody that you've worked with in the past? So those are things you can do to network. As far as your brand goes, think about, of course, how you're presenting to people. Have you reviewed your social media? What can you add? Is there anything you can remove, some older shoots? Is there anything you can do with your kit to make it look better, cleaner, more organized? Just think about how you're presenting yourself when you show up to jobs, when clients interact with you, and you can reflect and maybe make some changes and improvements on those types of things. And that's it for episode number 2. We're moving right along here. Thank you so much for listening today. I will put a summary of all of this for you in the show notes. Don't forget to follow Artist to Artist on Instagram. If you're enjoying this podcast, please spread the word, post it on social. I guess you can subscribe, whatever you do with podcasts, so that I can be in your ear each week. I did get asked if this is going to be a weekly or monthly podcast. I am planning on making this a weekly podcast. So with that being said, I guess I will talk to you next week. Have a good one.